Swami said one time, he walked in the door, he sat down on the floor with us, and he said, listen, wisdom will always tell you you're nothing, you're no thing, you're beyond the mind.
This is wisdom.
You're pure intelligence, perfect, pure mind, being, consciousness. Love will always tell you you're everything, because you're always connected and you're all, because it is your dream. Wisdom will always tell you you're nothing, no thing beyond the mind. Love will always tell you you're everything, because you're completely connected in the oneness. Simple. Not. We had a question before, and it was about the war in Iraq. How do we look at something of that nature? Now, we all understand karma, do we not? Basically, action, reaction, without emotion, without judgment, without anything, pure action, reaction. So, when we see all the severed limbs blowing around in Afghanistan or in Iraq or in
the hate, the anger,
in South Africa or wherever it may be, and it's all
brutality.
Over the globe in different ways, we look at it and we feel and we say, this is wrong. We don't like it. It feels wrong. It feels there's something that we need to do in order to change it. There is some. How do we deal with it intellectually, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually?
This is where we go, we know Swami. Yes, Swami, it's perfect.
Let's investigate. It always comes down to investigation, guys. Let's
investigate. Because there is nothing that isn't perfect.
If you accept reincarnation as the truth, and if you accept or understand or remember, some of us do remember, that reincarnation is exactly what it is, because nothing else makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, does it make sense that we are here one time, right now? And so why does a baby get born blind or another guy
crippled.
Get crippled? Why? If we're all here one time only,
we should all have perfect bodies to start out with.
Then whoever is God up there giving us all these strange bodies and all these
he's
different things.
He's doing
a crappy job. He better move over, because I'm coming. I'm taking over, okay? Because he's not doing a good job. So therefore, this idea of a God designing this doesn't make any sense. Secondly,
we are God designing our own play.
If a child gets born with a disease, an illness, in some dilapidating condition, right? Why? Well, does it make sense that in the life before or some other life, he did what he's now experiencing, and he has to experience in karma? So he designed this lifetime to experience the karma. He's very brave. That's a very brave soul to come and say, okay, I'm going to take it on this lifetime. I'm going to come. I'm going to be born crippled, blind, dilapidated in some way, shape, or form. So I'll come down, and I'll finish my karma, and I'll make it. Very brave soul. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they come down, they get born into a crippled, and then they start either lamenting their fate if they don't have a strong enough character that they bring with them as a vasana, or they have a real strong character, which usually they design it that way, so that they can come, they can take care of their handicap and be an example for the rest of us. Haven't you noticed? There are some brave souls that do this all the time. There are some that don't, but if you look at children, they always do it. If you look at young children that are doomed, quote unquote, to die in a short amount of time with a cancer or something else, they are never worried. They worry about the parents. They worry about everybody else. They're never worried about themselves. They say, I accept it. I know the body is here. Fine. Don't worry. I'll be fine. Why do children do this? Because children inherently are aware that they exist. And they know that that existence cannot be destroyed. They know this. If you ask a child that hasn't been taught yet that they came out of the mother's womb, you ask, where did you come from? They look at you, what? I'm always here. What do you mean, where did I come from? I'm here. I'm here. No, no, no. You came from somewhere. No, no. I exist. I am. This is always what they tell you. The moment you say, oh, you came from mom, you came through her womb, you came out. Oh, okay. That's on the physical level, that is true. But they retain the consciousness of their awareness of the I am state. They know without a shadow of a doubt that they exist.
Until the Maya consciousness
changes it.
Changes it.
So when they find their bodies being in death throes, so to speak, they know that they exist. They're not worried. They're not frightened. And some of them have heard about God. In the meantime, they say, okay, God will take care of me. No problem. They have no question. They have no dilemma. Only if you give to them the feeling of sorrow and fear and that stuff, they will reflect this to you, but only for you, not for them. Unless they take it on and then they become afraid, and then you've done a very great disservice to them. So when you are with those beings, and that's one of the reasons the little book called Alex the Dolphin was written, is was for the idea of death. People that are in the beautiful experience of having time to work on dying, because we work on everything else in creation except practicing how to die. We practice everything else.
You know what? This body was 17 years old, and someone asked me, what got you so strongly on this path? And I think I've always been on this path, even when I was little. My mother was into spirituality.
She was all going from kindergarten, kicking this.
Kicking,
do I have to
I
do this all over again?
I remember kicking a rock on my way to kindergarten going, do I have to do this all over again? Learn to read and write? And God, what a pain. Anyway, but I knew I had to start practicing something vigilantly when I think I was 16 and a half. I was with a friend in a van. We were driving up Laurel Canyon, a very steep, windy road at night, middle of the night, and it was raining.
No seatbelts at that time.
They didn't
right?
have seatbelts in cars then. And we were driving up, and we saw headlights ahead of us. I was in the passenger seat, the suicide seat, and my girlfriend was driving. We were driving up this road, and we saw this big truck out of control with headlights coming right at us. Just hitting, going like this, out of complete control, skidding towards us. And all I remember is seeing these headlights in my eyes. I grabbed hold of the dashboard, and I yelled, I closed my eyes, oh, shit! All of a sudden, we skidded to the side and hit the curb. We felt the truck just graze past us, missed us by this much. All I can remember is opening my eyes, seeing that I'm alive. Oh, what if I died? My last words on this plane was, oh, shit? That terrified me. I didn't want my last words to be that. I wanted to be,
in the name of God or Om
Swami.
Anything.
But not shit. That freaked me out, and I knew I had to practice. So Swami gave me 3 years of steady practice and gave me a similar experience on the Hollywood freeway.
4 years later or so.
It was 3 or 4 years later. I was with Janima driving down this freeway.
Little sports car.
In a little sports car, going 90 miles an hour, bumper to bumper traffic.
Now you understand, we were doing a service for a friend. It wasn't our car. They asked us to deliver it for them.
To a mechanic. Okay, so we're driving. Then all of a sudden, it seemed like the transmission fell out. Everything just froze.
Now remember, Hollywood freeways, California freeways, 70 miles, 80 miles an hour.
Everybody's tailgating.
All the lanes.
I remember the car just
froze.
We're skidding and spinning. Again.
All across, everywhere.
Eyes closed, held onto the dashboard and yelled, Swami! As we're spinning. And then I opened my my eyes and we're facing oncoming traffic, and it was like a divine hand just slowed and stopped everyone around us to a stop.
Everybody went beautifully, peacefully around us.
And I'm like, all I could think about, did you hear, Jonathan? It wasn't shit. It was Swami. I was so excited. It worked. The practice paid off. It worked.
So Janima, like a dummy, he starts turning the key again, which is really stupid, right?
The car started up again.
It started.
And there was an off-ramp right there, and everybody just allowed us to scoot off the freeway, and there was a gas station right there.
The car pulled the transmission behind it off the freeway and stopped. Said, thank you, Swami.
You never know what's going to come out of your mouth unless you practice.
Here's another example, just for fun, because we're having fun, right? All right, we're finally having fun with this? So are we always going to have fun now? We're not going to be serious or so spiritual?
Something I personally would like to share with you, that this is real spirituality, this satsang, just sharing. And I hope this continues at the centers, that we don't scare people away with too many rituals, too many dogmas, too many boxes, and we have this open sharing of laughter and love and helping each other grow and reminding each other of the basic truth. Not just worshiping Swami. This isn't his message. His message is sharing love and light with each other.
And the Sarvadharma
making,
symbol.
Making the centers more open for all religions, not just Hindi. It is not Hindi. In India, yes, it's Hindi, because 90% is Hindi in India. But other parts of the world, it isn't. And when those searchers of love and light come into the center, have them welcomed with the universal Sarvadharma, that all religions are welcome, that we're not focused on one form as our only deity. No, have the focus that you are God coming into this satsang, that everyone is God.
Have a picture of Christ, of Buddha, have anything.
Or this is why we have a mirror here,
too. See the mirror in the back? What we would like you to do when we get up this time, I want each one to pass by the mirror in front of it, look into the eyes of the mirror, not your face, don't look at your hair, don't look at any of the stuff.
Just I got a pimple.
Look at your eyes and see the awareness inside and know that is Swami, that is God, that is the self.
That is me.
That is I, the I that is. Don't look at the eyes, look at the light that shines out of them. And right
you.
Now, turn to the person next to you and look at their eyes. Look. What do you see? That light of recognition, that light of awareness, that is who we all are. And we are exactly the same in all of us. It never changes. When we were little children, that awareness was aware that we were little children, that our parents were there, the world was this way and everything else. We grew up, our mind changed, the body changed, the feeling changed, attitudes changed, concepts changed, everything changed except that awareness. When we drop these bodies, that same awareness will be there and continue. Remember, it hangs on with all of our dream experiences to create new bodies. And again, that awareness is eternal. Everything else is momentary. Everything else is unreal. That's why it's unreal. Right now, this experience is a relative reality. Yes, because we are experiencing
it. We're walking through it.
But it's not really real because it doesn't last forever. It's only relatively real for the moment. And certainly what happened yesterday is no longer real or appropriate.
Is everyone going to be here tomorrow, or are some people leaving earlier before we share again? Because I think we should share Swami's the secret that
yes,
Swami
we will.
Said today.
Okay.
Let's share this then.
We will share you the ultimate secret that Swami shared with us. We already did. You already know everything.
But okay? We'll share it again because it was so sweet how he said it.
I'm glad you know everything because I know nothing. But in this moment, I do know everything. But outside this moment, I know absolutely nothing. He walked in the room. It was just us. We were sitting on the floor waiting for me coming back from darshan. He walks in sweetly. He sat right down in front of us, grabbed our hands, and he says, would you like to know the secret of creation? The secret of life? He said, yes, Swami.
And he said it in such a whisper that we had to go
very close. And he said, you know, when your time for the body on this earth is finished and you move on when you go home, it won't matter if you were the richest person in the world, the most glorified, glamorous person, the beggar in the street, the priest, the nun,
the perfect father,
the perfect father,
the perfect mother,
the woodworker, the garbage collector, the street cleaner, the most brilliant scientist in creation. The only thing, and then he got closer and closer, he said, the only thing that will matter when you drop this form is how much love you will have shared every moment of your life with all of creation. That is the only thing that will matter. The rest is byproduct.
He went, the rest, byproduct.
The only thing that will ever matter to you when you pass this form is how much love you will have shared every moment of your life with all of creation. That's it. On this subject, we started before, and he gave us a promise, and this is for all of us. This is an absolute promise. He said, there are three kind of realized beings in the world. We started this before, remember? We didn't finish it. We'll now finish it with divine grace, which is always here. The first kind, like Janaka, remember? He woke up from his bed of debauchery, right? And instantly knew the truth and continued his life in the awareness of the truth. He did everything. He still had wives. He still made love to them. He still went out to war. He still killed people. He did everything that needed to be done in the Maya life.
He played his part well.
He played his part well.
And realizing that it was only a part.
In his own words, Swami said, Janaka said, all of this is just
my stage.
My play. It is only like shadows on the wall to me. All of the things that I see are unreal. They're like straw in the wind. They mean nothing. So therefore, all of it, I only see the God in all things. There's nothing else but me as God. So therefore, nothing is ever done or ever harmed or changed. So whatever the body is here for, let the mind do and the body do what they need to do in the moment. That's fine. He didn't add or subtract anything from anything. That is pure
humility.
That is perfect love. That is perfect awareness. When you don't need to add anything to anyone or anything, and you do not take anything or subtract anything from anyone or anything, that is love. That is perfect humility. Bowing down to Swami's feet is not humility. That's false humility. But it's okay. It destroys the ego. It's a wonderful way, but it's only for them.
It's a stepping stone.
What is false humility? It's feeling less than. This is a lie. That's why it's false. It's false because you feel less than. Doesn't mean I can bow to Swami 24 hours a day. Has no meaning. I'm laughing at bowing at myself. Swami stops this body from bowing a couple of times and says, why are you doing this? Why are you bowing to yourself? Okay. I like it, Swami. Okay, fine. So if you like it, no problem. But the feeling that you get with it, you know, this separation feeling that comes with, oh, Swami, yes, thank you, you will be done, all yours. If you truly, if no you exists, then that's perfect. But as long as there is a you,
like,
as long as there's a you that exists, then that is false
that
humility.
That puts Swami and you separate.
Separate.
You're propagating the Maya.
The separation.
The lie.
We're not saying that you can't bow to Swami. We're saying, investigate this. Don't just blindly accept it and do it because you think you should.
It's like, thank you, Swami, for waking up my divine self. Thank you, Swami.
And I know I'm only bowing to myself. Isn't it wonderful? Thank you, Swami. I love myself. Yeah, wonderful. No problem. Oh, yes, Swami, you are everything. And please, please, I got this problem. Take care of that. And I have this problem. Please, it's all your problem. Okay. And Swami is very kind. He does take care of all the little things, if you truly mean it. If you have a problem, let's say you I'm going to use the word, if you bitch at Swami, right? Because you think, Swami, you complain, I complain. Do it. He will answer you.
But be very specific on what you want, because he'll give it to you.
And you may not like
we
it.
We had there's a lady friend who, her husband had an affair and he divorced her. And she was, we were in Puttaparthi together. She had, somebody said, go talk to Kalasu, go talk to Kalasu. So it's like, okay. So she found me and she started pouring out all of her sorrow. My husband left me, da da da. And I just want somebody to love me. I want someone to just worship and devour me and love me, only me. Well, I said, just be really, if that's what you want,
be
write
careful.
It down, give it to Swami. Okay, he'll give it to me. Yeah, but be specific. Well, she was at the Puttaparthi airport, ready to fly home, and she met a doctor there, and he fell in love with her. Eventually, they got married. About a year later, I would get this phone call. He's put my picture on the altar. All he's doing is
worshiping
and loving me.
I can't stand it anymore.
I can't stand it.
I want him just to be a man.
We said, what did you ask Swami for?
Oh.
So be very careful what you ask for.
Any questions? Yeah, we were getting to it, but we were sidetracked. Okay, the other two parts. These are a lot of your sages that meditate. You know, they go into meditation sometimes for weeks, months, years, even. It doesn't matter. They go into a nirvikalpa state, which is a meditation where you go into that space that we all experienced, and they stay there. So their bodies are sort of in suspended animation during that time, but they like to hang out in that, okay? But they still always have to come back to the body. They keep some of the vasanas because, you see, in the first stage, like Janaka, like we said, remember, we have three types of karmas. There's the one that's in motion, the one that's going to come into motion, and the long-standing one, right? Think of it like this. The one in motion is like an arrow flying already.
It's in the air.
Off the bow, okay? It's already flying. That's human bodies have to experience. Now, the one that's in the quiver, the arrow hasn't been shot yet. That's waiting to be shot. And then the one that's in the...
In storage,
right? Waiting to be going into the quiver. That's our long-standing, all the karmas that accumulated.
For many lifetimes possible.
For the first type of realized being, there's no karma at all except the one that's in motion. And if the emotion one comes at the body, it will be nullified to how we explained with the accident. Okay? The second kind of karma, or the second kind of realization, is a person who meditates. They love to meditate, and then they have to come back to the body. And you will find in them, sometimes they have a vasana. Sometimes they get angry, like the sage Augusta. He was very angry type of personality, right? Which is part of the vasana, okay, of the body that was
temper.
His body, a temper. Other sages, they may drink coffee, they may chew betel nut, they may have women, they may do many different things, but they know beyond a shadow of the doubt that this was just part of their physical body experience that is still part of. It's like when you have a fan that's spinning, and as long as electricity is going to the fan, it will continue spinning. The second kind, the switch is turned off. There's no more electricity. They cannot make any more movement. They cannot get any new vasana to be back in the body, because if you stay in that state of meditation, you lose the body form. It disintegrates. So they come back to the body, and to keep the body, they keep the vasana going as long as, and let it run out. They don't care about that. And it has no impact. There's no karma for that, because there's no fertile ground for it to grow in. There's no more mind. Mind is dead, okay? They don't create future things.
Yeah.
They're just fully invested in the moment, in the now, in their awareness of who they are. They also, only the one karma that's in motion will be augmented to being a very less experience for their bodies. Like Ramana Maharshi, he had cancer, if you remember, right? He didn't pay any attention to the body. I mean, there's a story even, Swami didn't tell me, but one of the Rama people told me that he had an open sores on his body and there were maggots, you know, from flies that had laid the eggs, and one of them fell off. He picked it up and he said, oh, no, no, and he put it back on. That's how detached. It means nothing to them. You understand?
This is just, he had no body consciousness.
There was no self invested in the body or anything, okay? But the karma still came to the body in a very small way, because his karma was probably that he would have died instantly in some other way, okay? The third kind, Swami said, they're the kind of individual, and he talked about this in the form of jnana, wisdom, okay? He said, the first one is a perfect jnani, perfect wisdom of the truth, absolute truth, and he lives it, thinks it, speaks it completely. That is Janaka's way. The second one is also perfect wisdom, but they are still coming back and forth to the form in order to identify with it, to finish off whatever it is that they do, because they're here as gurus or to help people or to do whatever they need to do. The third kind, they're that individual that have heard the truth and digested the absolute truth, everything that you've heard today and experienced partially. They digested this in their inner being state, their heart state. And they know somewhere inside of them that some of this is absolutely so. And yes, by that one fact of the knowledge of that wisdom alone, no matter what they do, they can go back in the world. They look like everybody else. They will cry if their wife dies. They will be attached to their money. They will be attached to their work and all the different. They will be perfect human ignoramus, quote unquote, I'm playing, okay? So, but every once in a while, when everything gets too much, they go back to the truth. They go back to that space within themselves. They will not ever let it go because they cannot forget
it. They can't lose it.
They can't lose it. It can't go away. That fact alone, they will have all three karmas coming at them as long as they have this form right now. But the moment that they drop the form, and this was Swami's promise, guys, the moment they drop this physical form, no matter what, if they once truly understood and realized in their heart the truth, when they die and drop this form, they will come emancipated. They will realize the self instantly and stay forever free.
There won't be any requirement for them to take body.
The cycle of birth and death is broken.
Now, if you find yourself in a body or not, it will make no difference
anyway.
It
is broken. You will not have to incarnate because of karma. He will erase everything.
Have something to drink.
With that promise, what's our problem? Do we have any problems? No. Are there any problems? No.
Tomorrow, we're going to be, if tomorrow exists, and if we're all still wake up and we're here, tomorrow, if anybody has any questions, anything about anything that we can all share and work through, or
sex, drugs, rock and roll, anything, guys.
There's no limitation. Write it down, and we can share tomorrow.
We talked to Swami about this stuff. It's not that we're telling you something that we didn't speak to Swami about, but he can only speak this way to one-on-one with us. He can't speak that way to the masses. You have to understand. He gives a very broad stroke to the masses just to keep them from making more karma.
Keep them good.
Go do service. Go do service. Forget about yourself. Go do service. But what is service, guys? Come on. Let's investigate this. Shall we go out and feed the poor? That's nice. That's a very nice thing to do. But they're going to be hungry 2 hours later. Who's going to feed them then? Okay?
And we're not saying, don't go out and feed the poor.
That's not what we're saying. We're saying, investigate. What is service? Swami said it really simple. Real service is simply love. As long as you believe you're doing service, it's not real.
But you know what? Doctors, heal yourself first. Do service to yourself first, and then you can do service to creation.
Swami has us going around to the, basically the organization heads a lot of times. And they're all in a room like you are here sometimes. And they know it all, you understand. They follow every one of Swami's teaching and they know it all. And then they look at us and say, who the hell are these upstarts?
Two ladies. Let's tell a story.
Yeah.
After this.
Okay. So we say, okay, you're all here. You represent the organization. Very good. Why are you here? We said, we're doing Swami's work.
Swami doesn't need you.
Who the hell do you think you are? What ego trip are you on?
Swami needs nothing.
Swami doesn't need you. You're doing this for yourself. You're not doing it for you. You're not doing it for anybody except yourself. Swami doesn't need you to do anything. Any cockroach can take your place or mine. Why are you here? And they go, I'm doing Swami's work. No, you're not. That's your delusion. Stop it. Love Swami all you want. Do whatever you feel happy doing. That's fine. But you're not doing it for Swami. Doesn't need you to do anything. Why don't you be Swami instead? And they say, We said, if your first priority in this life is not love, there's the door. Goodbye. Leave. You have no business being here.
Because at the time, there were so many arguments, so much bickering going on between department heads and the organization, so much chaos.
Hey, where's love?
And if love is not your priority, you don't belong.
Where's peace? Where's harmony? Where is love thy neighbor as thyself? Where is love thy enemy?
When Swami put us up on the hill to raise the kids, he sort of plucked us out of the center, the organization. We just sort of like disappeared. And, you know, when we left the center, it was like this. We were all just a family sharing love and light. We had all the deities. If somebody loved Yogananda, they brought their picture. If somebody brought Lahiri Mahasaya or their deity, they
put, beautiful.
The wall was filled with all of them. All right? And we talked.
Or we just put a mirror up and said, forget the pictures.
Or the mirror. And we shared everything with everyone. There were no secrets. And if anybody had any judgment, you know what? They didn't last long. They would be gone. This was only a house of love, which is the Swami's final message of what we are all about. So when we left, we thought, all right, we're raising the kids. When the kids were around, Shanti was 15, 16.
14. Yeah, right, they were old enough, meningitis.
They were old enough to stay alone for a weekend without having crazy parties while we were gone, okay? Yeah. I think. So.
Hey.
So they said, okay, Mom, Dad, we're fine,
but they cleaned
go.
Up, so we never knew. So yeah. It was okay. We knew anyway. But it's okay.
So I had this dream in the middle of the night, and it was a beautiful dream. It was like Swami said, enough of this, back to work. Back to work. And I told John, as I was telling John about the dream the next morning, the phone rang. Somebody had read one of the books and said, are you really Lightstorm? Great. Would you come and cheer at this retreat? Okay, this was the first time in 15 years we had been completely out of the loop.
Baba.
We didn't know anybody
then. We'd seen
Swami,
but we hadn't gone to anybody else.
So we went, okay, so we got there. And everybody had their badges. We noticed there were all these little groups, all these little cliques. And they said, oh, so-and-so had only 5 interviews. You don't want to talk to them. And so-and-so had 20. Those are good people. They're VIPs.
They know a lot.
And they gave us our little tag, VIP speaker, and name. And I'm like, what is going on? What happened to oneness, all the same one? So
love.
We immediately got the felt marker, scratched out our name, scratched everything, and wrote Swami. Because this is what he taught us. And it was very cute because there were some people, like, you could feel their thought forms. Who are they? Who do they think they are? Who are they?
Didn't know who we were. They had no idea, okay? Not that it means anything, but they looked at us like some young upstarts.
And there was
who are these guys?
There was a lot of fighting going on. At the time, there was a woman who wanted to share. She took a video camera to Puttaparthi and Kodaikanal, and she wanted to share it with everybody at this big retreat. Well, Swami had said to somebody, I don't want any more video cameras. No more videos. like that to somebody. So that somebody was there and said, no, you can't show your video.
Swami said, no more videos.
So she was like crying, but it was such a beautiful adventure. It was just Swami. I think it'd be really nice. And she was crying, and he was going, no videos. So it was like there was such anger, such fighting going on.
Separation again.
And somebody else was coming back from India, said, Swami said,
No more red dresses for anybody.
No more red dresses.
Nobody can wear red.
Don't wear black. He told me not to wear black, so nobody should wear black. You can't wear black. So all
can't
these,
wear shoes that have leather in it, or whatever.
That's why when we first came out here, we said, you know what? Take whatever we're sharing with you with a grain of salt. You must follow your own inner Swami because that is your only guide. That's the only one you answer to. Not even that one. We're only sharing our own personal experience because what we happened to see at these retreats and the centers were everybody was coming back as Swami's Messiah saying, not this, not that, don't do this, don't do that.
And everybody wanted to tell everybody what Swami needs them to do.
And put everyone in a nice tidy box. Jhanam and I looked at each other and went, oh my God.
Now
that's
we know
why Swami did
this
that
to us.
Okay. Now, I'm going to take us back in time in 1972,
I think.
Swami had called us into the room. Now, this was way before. Swami had called us into this room, and he goes, we'll have a big concert tomorrow. Lightstorm will sing? And we said, yes, Swami. And he goes, good. Now, be quiet and watch. Pay attention.
Don't think, don't speak. Watch.
And we're like, okay. And he had that Krishna look in his eye, like, uh-oh. He called in an Indian woman, and he said to her, Lightstorm is going to perform tomorrow. I want you to watch the front door. And she goes, oh, thank you, Swami. Now let only Indians in. And she went, yes, Swami. So happy to do some seva for Swami. She touched his feet, and he dismissed her. Swami looked over at us like,
Are you paying attention?
Yeah. And we just being quiet, watching. Then he called in another woman, and they looked like sisters. And he goes to her, Lightstorm is having a big concert tomorrow. I want you to take care of the door. Let only Westerners in. yes, Swami. And we're like.
And we're looking at Swami, and he
says, what a mischievous Krishna. In my head, I'm thinking. So we thought, why are you doing this, Swami? So the next day of the concert, we were on stage sitting next to Swami, and the two ladies were at each other's throats. They were like two cats. Swami told me only Indians. Swami told me only Westerners. As they're fighting, people are literally piling in.
Through them, under them.
As they're arguing and fighting, and there's Swami right there.
Total chaos.
All right, and the place was overpacked. Packed full with no order whatsoever. Everybody was just like this, packed together in this room. So as they're fighting, Swami looks at us. He goes, come. We get up off the stage and walk down the hall. And they stop. And the minute they saw Swami, Swami, you tell her. You told me only Westerners were allowed in. And she's letting Indians in. You told me. And I told her, no, only Westerners were allowed in. And then she said the same thing. But Swami, you told me.
He says, stop. Yes, Swami did that. Now, if you would have listened to Swami and minded your own business,
what Swami says
to
you is for you.
And what he says to you is for you. If you would have minded your own business, done what Swami said, it would have been wonderful, orderly on the right side, it would have been on the left side, it would have been Indians. Westerners, Indians. He says, now kiss and make up.
Now kiss and make up.
And then he looked at us and said, okay.
Okay.
And we went back.
And
up.
We thought, why did you
do this?
And then we were at this retreat watching this around us. And we're like,
so we told
and causing story. Such disharmony. People were actually fighting, yelling, and arguing. And that's what reminded us because they were at each other's throats like those two ladies, arguing and bickering back
kind
and forth.
Almost angry.
Almost having
hating,
a fist fight.
You know what I mean?
And
being
and
right.
Some people crying and the other people going like this, yelling. And I'm like, what has happened? And then the two ladies, that's why he did this. So the minute we got on, it was our turn to share.
Now you have to understand, there was one microphone over there, one microphone over there, and they said, oh, you can only speak over there, and you can say, sorry, we're going to do this, or
this
you don't
need us.
This is
how we've always sang for Swami, this is how.
You want it this way, fine, if you don't want it, we're gone, you know. So they said, well, you can't, it's not the custom. I said, screw the custom, this is what we do.
If we were in India, we would have obliged.
In India, it's a different story, you know. But here, this is what, even with Swami, we did this. Swami sat here, right, with
us. And we
us,
sat beside
know?
Him
We sat beside
together.
Him, or he sat over here, depending what side he
because
puts
Because I
on.
Sit on this side also for the harmony
for
and
the
his
guitar.
Voice. For harmony.
You know, so they said, oh okay, just do it. But, you know, and they didn't know what to say. So we started. And then they asked us some questions because they were singing some bhajans. And I said, oh, you changed some of the early bhajans. They said,
they had no idea that.
It's always been this way. I said, no, we wrote them through
the
these bodies and they're different.
This is how it originally
you
went.
You want to hear how they really went?
Because throughout the years they got changed and rearranged.
And they go, oh. Anyway, we told this story, and by the end of the retreat, everybody
was
hugging,
beautiful. Everybody had crossed off their name and wrote Swami, and everybody, there were no more, the VIPs, there were no other separate little groups. Everybody was calling each other Swami, and it was just a miracle.
It was love.
It was beautiful.
And we exposed it. We spoke. We said, why are you doing this? Where is Swami's message in this? What are you doing? Why are you here?
Why are we making people feel uncomfortable because of these customs?
Why are you spending all this money and running around the world with this crap? And that's how we talk, you know, and I'm sorry. This is Janama, that's what you're hearing, you know, so. It's real, is what you see is what you get. Any questions? No. Yes. Okay. We need to quit. Do we have time?
It's about time for dinner.
Okay.
If anybody has anything else, and we'll share this, we'll all share what everyone here thinks of love. Because we are a family. We are the Sai family.
Yes, we will. Touch
share.
That tomorrow, yes, because we asked.
Write it down if we forget, remind us, okay?
Also, in the beginning, remember today we started and Janama sang in that very high falsetto voice? The reason why Janama does that, or why I do this, is because Swami told me to. Swami said, do this
he
all the time.
He loved this voice. Every time we would start a con, he said, sing high.
Only that.
Like this.
Start that way.
And when he'd be doing it, Swami would be like,
and he said,
like
what it
ribbon?
Does, it cleans the vibration, opens hearts, and it bypasses everything.
Let me tell a quick story.
Yes.
We are sitting in the room, and Richard Bach, old devotee too, we knew him before we even met physically Swami.
Remember he was the one who brought the picture home?
All right. Janma used to sing like this all the time with this high wailing falsetto.
Richard
hit
Bach, records out for it, you know?
Richard Bach hated it, and he's in the music business.
He brought Ravi Shankar over to the West. He recorded him.
All right, and he took the Beatles over to see Swami, and he, old music producer. And he would tell Janma, don't sing like that. It sounds horrible. You sound
like
a
girl.
All right? He hated Janama's falsetto. It so happened one year, we were all in India together, and we were in the veranda in Whitefield, and there was Richard sitting on the other side, smiling, and there we were, and Swami came over to us. First, he walked over to Richard, and he goes, Lightstorm's going to sing for us like that, and Richard goes, oh, happy, Swami, happy. So Swami walks over to us, looks over at Janama, and he goes, sing high. And the two of us are like, oh, God.
Yes, Swami.
So he started singing high, and Richard's like. And Swami walks over to Richard and goes, beautiful, no? And Richard was like, mm-hmm.
Yes, Swami, yes, Swami. And he looks over at us and goes, mm.
prankster.
But you get a glimpse of how we know Swami, and now how you know Swami. It's different now.
Live today as if it were the last day of your life. Come on, live today as if it were the last day of your life. I said, love today as if it were life. Everybody, I said love today as if it were the last day of your life. Yes, dance today. I said dance today as if it were the last dance of the night. Come on and dance today, as if it were the last dance of the night. Oh, sing today, as if it were the last breath that you take. Yes, sing today, as if it were the last breath of your life. Live today, love today, be right here, right now, because now is eternity. Jai Sai Ram Swami.
Thank you, Swami, for sharing love and light with us. See, this is what we experience by the duality. We can love each other. We can share. In the oneness, we are already one. That's why we created the game. So we can experience love, bliss, sharing, crying.
But somewhere along the line, we forgot this. I don't know why.
It's a game, guys. So what's so important? Sai Ram.